I've entitled the message, All the Counsel of God. All the Counsel of God. Now, when Paul is bringing this message to the Ephesian elders with regard to their responsibilities to feed the church of God, two different times in this same message, he gives this admonition, this warning. He said in verse 20 of this chapter, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. And that word profitable is the same word that's generally translated expedient or necessary. I kept back nothing that was necessary for you to hear and to benefit from. And then he said in verse 27, I have not shunned, and that's the same word translated kept back, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now I'd like to make three introductory statements that are very important. Number one, the cross is all the counsel of God. You know what that means? That means everything I say, every doctrine brought forth, can only be measured by the cross. It's wrong if it cannot be measured by the cross. The cross is the whole counsel of God. Now, the second thing I would like to try to say is I must preach the whole counsel of God, or I'm not preaching the gospel. And the third thing I'd like to say is this: you and I are responsible to believe the whole counsel of God. The burden is just as much on you as it is on me. You and I are both responsible to believe the whole counsel of God. Now, Paul knows that he is seeing them for the last time. Look in verse 25. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Paul knew that this was the last time that he would be preaching to them. And what I ask myself is, could I say what Paul said? Could I say what Paul said? Have I preached the whole counsel of God? Have I shunned to declare that which is expedient? I'm sure I can think of a lot of things with regard to preaching, pastoring a church, the ministry. I'm sure I can think of a lot of things that I wish I had done more of or less of. I wish that I had been more zealous, more earnest about this thing of preaching the gospel. I'm sure I have not been the example that I should be. I'm just sure of that. I've not set the example that I should have as a pastor. If I knew this was the last message I was preaching, I feel quite sure that that would be heavy on my mind. The love that I have is not what it should have been. My sympathy, my empathy, my concern is not what it should have been. It'd not be hard for me to see many deficiencies in myself as a pastor. too much pride, not enough humility, not enough patience. I'm so much harder on you than I am on myself. And I have expectations of others that I ease up on myself with regard to. I know that's so. You know that's so, and you would probably say the same things with regard to yourself. But I hope that I can say, if I was knowing that I'm going to die tonight and never see you again, I hope that I can say that I've kept back nothing that was profitable to you. I hope that I can say that I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And if I cannot say that, I prove myself false. And you have not been given that which is expedient, which is necessary for you to hear and for you to believe. And I would be complicit in your blood and bring damnation on myself. Now that's how serious this thing is. Is there any wonder Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? If I prove to be false, I do so to the eternal destruction of my soul. And if you believed what I've said, you and I will both be in a place where we do not want to be for eternity. I hope I can say I've kept back nothing that was expedient for you. I've not shunned, I've not shirked preaching all the counsel of God. Now this word is the word not shunned, kept back. This is the same word used with regard to Peter in Galatians chapter 2. You remember that when he was sitting at the Gentiles' table, fellowshipping with them, enjoying the gospel, and all of a sudden certain from James came in. And Peter, without a word, got up and separated himself. Same word. He separated himself from those Gentile believers and went over and sat with the Jewish believers. And by that action, he said, you're more pleasing to God in the Jewish table than you are with the Gentile table. And Paul publicly rebuked him at that time, saying the truth of the gospel would not remain with that action. When he withdrew himself, is the word. He withdrew himself. And he separated himself. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read, now the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, I mean, the end of it. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back. Same word. If any man draw back. And you know, this is a nautical term. It alludes to taking the sail and letting it down so you don't go quite so fast through the water. God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now this is how serious this thing is of preaching and believing all the counsel of God. Now, if someone does not preach all the counsel of God, it's because he is seeking to please men. That's the only reason. To keep men happy. To keep a following. To keep people coming. There is no good motive for not preaching all the counsel of God. It's concealing something. It's speaking in ambiguous terms. So everybody will be happy with what you say. And I think this is an example of this. I've used this several times when preachers say, Christ died for those who believe. Well, that's true, isn't it? He did die for those who believe. But you know, you can You can accept that from any level. You can accept that, well, that he died for everybody, or then the folks who believe that he died only for the elect, they can accept that, but everybody's happy with that statement. And in reality, you do not preach the truth. That's an act of shunning to declare the whole counsel of God. You see, when you do that, you don't tell who he died for. You don't tell what he accomplished by his death. There's just all kinds of problems with that. And it's just failing to preach the truth. You know, when Drew read that scripture about when I see the blood, I pass over you, I thought about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, when he said it's how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, according to Exodus chapter 12. Not just Christ died for our sins, but how that Christ died for our sins. Who is the our? According to the scriptures, according to the Old Testament scriptures, God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's the gospel. Nothing less is. Now, I repeat, the cross is the whole counsel of God. You believe that? The cross is the whole counsel of God. The whole Bible is interpreted in light of Revelation 13:8, Christ being the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If I say anything that's contrary to that, I've kept back that which is expedient. Anything divorced from that is wrong. Now, there is one gospel, the whole counsel of God, and it's made of many truths that make the one truth. And to leave out the one, any of those truths, you no longer have the truth. And that's what the whole counsel of God is. It's the cross. And there are many truths in the scripture that make up all the counsel of God. The doctrine of the cross, the preaching of the cross. And if I leave out any of those, I no longer have the truth. Now, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, here's where he began. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel. There's that word counsel. All the counsel of God. That's where Peter began. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This is the same counsel of which Paul spoke in Ephesians 1:11, where we're predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, here's an illustration. I bet you don't know anybody who would say, I don't believe salvation by grace. Everybody you run into says, sure, I believe grace. But did you know if you don't preach and believe election, you don't believe grace at all? It's impossible. Let me repeat that. It is impossible to believe in salvation by grace and not believe in election. Now, to preach the whole counsel of God, you cannot emphasize one truth to the exclusion of another. If my emphasis on God's sovereignty leads me to exclude human responsibility, I've really preached neither. I've not preached God's sovereignty, nor have I preached human responsibility. I've made a caricature of God's sovereignty that's not God's sovereignty at all. Now, I want to repeat, to leave out some aspect of God's truth or to emphasize some truth to the exclusion of another is to keep back that which is profitable. And it's to shun to declare all the counsel of God. Now, notice the way Paul said in verse 20 of our text, I kept back nothing that was profitable, that was expedient, that was necessary for you to hear. He said, I've showed you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house. I kept back nothing that was not necessary for you to hear. And he says in verse 27 to this same group of people, I've not shunned, I've not withdrew myself to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, before I try to make an attempt at preaching all the counsel of God in just a few moments, and you know, you really can. To preach all the counsel of God doesn't mean you try to preach the whole Bible in one night. I mean, I've heard people try it. I remember one time in a conference, there a guy got up and said he's going to preach out of all 66 books of the Bible, and he did. He did. He brought out every one of them. I thought, you know, it's a torture, you know. That's not what preaching the whole counsel of God is. You can do it briefly. But I want to remind you, Balaam is the arch false prophet in the New Testament. He's mentioned three times. And if you read his history in Numbers chapters 22 through 24, it would benefit you to do that this week. If you get an opportunity, read Numbers chapter 22 through 24. That's the history of Balaam. You won't find one thing he said that you disagree with. As a matter of fact, you won't find one thing he said that you won't say, that's good. That's good. That's right on. It's not what he said, it's what he didn't say that made him the arch false prophet. And this is what Paul is warning of. I've not left out that which I should have preached. Now, I remember Joe McSherry saying to me one time, and I'll never forget this statement. He said, I want to be right. Me too. I want to be right. I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right. But even more importantly, I want to know what is right. There's a difference. Everybody wants to be right. I want to be right so you can be wrong. I mean, that's everybody's attitude, you know. I know something you don't know. I got power over you. I'm not talking about that kind of attitude. I don't want to just be right. I want to know what is right. I want to know the truth. That's what I want. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth concerning the character of God Almighty, who He really is. I want to know the truth about myself. I really do. Not from you, but from Him. I want to know the truth concerning myself. And I want to know the truth concerning salvation. I want to know the truth. Now I go to Paul's charge to Timothy. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing, preach the word. Now that's preaching all the counsel of God. Preach the word. Does the word claim divine inspiration? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Preach it. Does the word declare that God is one God in three distinct persons? Well, John tells us that these three are one. Then preach it. Does the word declare God's absolute sovereignty? And I mean absolute. It's not like He's sovereign in one area and sovereign in another, and not sovereign in another. He's sovereign in creation. He willed this creation into existence. He's sovereign in providence. That means that everything that happens, He's in control of it. He's the cause of. He's the cause of causes. Ain't nothing that He's not the cause of. Somebody says, are you saying that God is the cause of evil? I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. That's what He said. Now somebody said, well, that means that's just talking about bad circumstances. He's in control of the bad things that happen. Well, yeah, he is, and he's in control of everything else. You know, when Adam ate of that fruit, you know why he ate of it? It was God's purpose, for his glory. He controls everything in providence. I don't care what you're talking about. He's in control of it. And if there's anything he's not in control of, he's not sovereign. Now, does the Bible declare him to be sovereign? He doeth according to his will. Preach it. Does the Bible declare that God predestinated? Preach it. I love predestination. I love the God of predestination. I love the fact that the elect were predestined to be saved before the world began by the purpose of God. Preach it. Does the Bible declare God as a God of purpose? I've already quoted several scriptures. Preach it. Does the Word declare man is dead in sins? Then preach it and tell what that means. That means you can't do anything to save yourself. That means you're utterly dead in His hands, and the only way you can be saved is for Him to give you life. Preach what God says in His Word. Does the Word deny free will? It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Then preach it. Preach the Word. Does the Word declare that God, before time began, elected a people to salvation? Then preach it. Does the Word teach that Christ died for a particular people? He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Then preach it. Does the Word declare his death to be a saving death? Not an offer of salvation. Not making salvation available, but actually saving by one offering. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Preach the Word. Does the Word preach that men are held responsible for their sin? Well, Peter, when he said to him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you with hands forced by sovereign action, committed, no, he said, you with wicked hands have crucified and slain. You will not come to me that you might have life. You preach God's word as he presents it. When we preach justification by faith, you know, everybody says, I believe in justification by faith. Tell what that means. Tell what it means. What's it mean to be justified? It means you stand before God without guilt. It means you have perfect righteousness. It means you're sinless before God. It means when the holy, thrice holy God looks at you, there's no sin. And let somebody know, that doesn't come because of an act of your faith. That comes because of what Christ did. Faith believes that. Tell what it means. Tell what it meant, what the Lord meant when he said that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Does the Word teach the new birth? The necessity of being born again? Preach it. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Does the Word teach the preservation and perseverance of God's people? Well, the Lord said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Preach it. Does the Word preach the necessity of faith and repentance? Well, in this very passage of Scripture, doesn't he say repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ? And let me remind you this. We're going to be dealing with this maybe next week. But repentance and faith are two sides of the same act. You can't have one without the other. You can't repent and not believe. You can't believe and not repent. When you believe, you repent. When you repent, you believe. Just like breathing, you exhale and you inhale. One act, breathing, but you inhale that goodness of the gospel. You exhale the rottenness of your works. It's one act. Yes, the Word of God teaches repentance and faith. Does the Word speak of that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord? Sure does. Preach it. Does the Word teach two separate natures? You know, I was listening to a preacher preach this week. He said, I'm hearing preachers talking about two separate natures. He said, that's not in the Bible. It's taught very clearly in the Bible. The flesh lusts against the Spirit lusts against the flesh. And his comment was, somebody says, well, if that's the case, how do we still sin? And then he said, well, it's because our bodies are entrapped in a sinful body. You know, our natures, our new natures entrapped it. Well, it's the same thing if that's what he believes. But the point is, preach what God's Word says. And let me give you some, this thing of two natures is so important for this reason. If you don't believe in two separate natures, you believe the old nature is improved by grace. That's a denial of total depravity. If you don't believe in two natures, you deny that a believer has a holy nature that does not sin. Oh, it's so important. Whatever God's Word teaches, preach it. Does the Word teach progressive sanctification? Now, that's the main teaching of just about every form of Christianity. I know you become more holy by your acts of obedience and less sinful. You become more holy and less sinful. If you give yourself to, if you don't feed the, I've heard that, you know, which nature is the most powerful? The one you feed. You ever heard that? The one you feed. If you feed the old nature, it'll get stronger than the new nature. If you feed the new nature, it'll overcome the old nature. Now, I don't feed either one. I just am what I am. I'm not feeding anything. I'm asking the Lord to save me. I'm asking the Lord to have mercy on me. I'm asking the Lord to keep me by His grace. I'm asking the Lord to enable me to look to Christ only, but I'm not making some kind of, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to feed the old one or new one? That's foolishness. And that's all it is. It's stupid. Call it for what it is. The Bible doesn't teach anything like that. It's nowhere taught. In order to keep back nothing and to not shun to declare all the counsel of God, or not to emphasize any one truth to the exclusion of another. Now, I've heard preachers say many times, we need balance in our preaching. We need balance. What they mean by that is we need to stay in the middle of the road and don't preach anything too strongly. Let's stay balanced. Let's have a proper balance. Now, listen, we're preaching any of God's truth full steam ahead, whatever it is. Full steam ahead. You don't try to balance and juggle and try to keep things even keeled. So, you preach God's sovereignty as hard as you can preach it. You preach man's responsibility as hard as you can preach it. Can you overemphasize Christ as all? Is that possible? You can't overemphasize God's sovereignty, but if my emphasis of God's sovereignty causes me to deny man's responsibility and not even think of man's responsibility, I've really failed to preach God's sovereignty. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about preaching the whole counsel of God. If I preach divine forgiveness without preaching we must forgive ourselves, not forgive ourselves, but we're doing a forgiving. It always tickles me when somebody says, you need to learn how to forgive yourself. I never have any problem with that. I'm pretty quick to do it. But what that's talking about is us forgiving. The Lord says, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. The Lord said that. Somebody says, well, that sounds like, I don't care what it sounds like, the Lord said it. And it's so clear from the Scriptures. If I preach election in a way that makes us undifferent or even less zealous to witness and to bring the gospel to people, I've not preached election right, have I? I've really not preached all the counsel of God. If I preach salvation not of works in a way that makes men
failed to strive to enter in the straight gate. You know, the Lord said, you strive to enter. I love it when that fellow said, Lord, are the few to be saved? He said, you strive to enter into the straight gate. Now, if I preach salvation not by works in a way that makes you think, well, there's nothing, we'll just see what happens. I've not preached the whole counsel of God. If I preach all we do is sin, and that's true, isn't it? All we do is sin. If I preach all we do is sin in such a way as to make you think it doesn't even make any sense when the Lord said these things ride unto you that you sin not. No, all we do is sin, and these things ride unto you that you sin not. And if I don't preach both those, I haven't preached either. If my belief in sovereignty, the sovereignty of God, makes me think it's useless to pray, I've not preached the sovereignty of God. If I preach faith as a gift and fail to command everybody I'm preaching to believe the gospel, I've not preached either, right, have I? Yes, faith is the gift of God. Yes, you are commanded to believe the gospel and to not do that is to not preach the whole counsel of God. You're right to believe. It's not, you're not supposed to try to figure out whether or not you're elect. You're commanded to believe the gospel. The gospel's simple, and it's not. Isn't that so? The gospel's very simple. Very simple. Christ is all. And it's not. Pray for me that I will keep back nothing but preach the whole counsel of God. And pray for yourself that you will believe all the counsel of God. And the only way this can be true for both of us, if God is the one that is our teacher. I love that passage of Scripture in John chapter 6, verse 45, where the Lord said, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Oh, I want to preach all the counsel of God, and I'm scared to death not to. But even more, I want to believe all the counsel of God. You know, if I believe all the counsel of God, I'll preach all the counsel of God. I will, no doubt about it, if I believe. May the Lord give us the grace to keep back nothing that's profitable and to not shun to declare all the counsel of God. Let's pray. Lord, we're so frightened at the thought of not preaching all your counsel, not believing all your counsel. And Lord, we could so easily deceive ourselves and lie to ourselves that we have. And we pray that you would deliver us from that and that you would cause us to see that the cross of thy blessed Son is all your counsel. And that everything that is said has something to do with the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, deliver us from being Balaams. Lord, give us the grace to testify the gospel of thy grace. I bless this message for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.